This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Talking Heads. The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Marco's Pizza, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, and Ron's Electric Motors.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. There are lots of things that we can talk about, but I wanted to focus on something specific, at least for the first part of the show today, given that this weekend marked the third anniversary of Dorian, or rather Thursday would have been when Dorian made landfall on Abaco. And I think it's prudent that we talk about Dorian, not so much in the context of all that was lost and the tragedy people went through, which that is still real and that trauma is still present. And as you can see from some of the memorial initiatives that the government had over the past few days, 3 years is still not enough time to distance people from the horror of what they went through, the losses they suffered. So healing's a process, right? They say a journey, it takes time. And to heal your soul is incredibly complex, and there's only so much that humans can do in that regard to help another human being. Not saying humans are powerless, but there's only so much, really, that you can do. But I want to talk about Dorian in the context of what is, on the face of it, appears to be a continued level of dereliction by government in terms of restoring what was there and rebuilding better, or even really laying out some real groundwork for that. So we heard, and this is no diss to anybody, we heard from the DRA last week at the Office of the Prime Minister press conference. And the DRA, while I question to this day why it exists, is only partially responsible for the majority, it's only partially responsible for restoration, reconstruction in terms of Dorian, right? So to me, and this is not to knock anybody, I have known Alex Storr a long time. He's a competent guy. I know his wife. I know Aaron Sargent. He's managing director. Alex Storr is the chairman. This is not a personal attack on anybody, right? But I don't know why the DRA exists. I'm being perfectly honest about that. And to my mind, I will have to double check. But I thought the Davis administration didn't like the idea of the DRA either. Now you're following this same concept from the Minnesota administration that you're going to merge the DRA and NEMA. And my question is, for what? For what purpose, A, B, how's that going to work? I'm sure you're lawmakers, and so you understand the covenants that govern the Disaster Reconstruction Authority and the covenants that govern NEMA, and they're not the same. Right, there's different levels of accountability. There's different. They would both come under the office of the prime minister, but they're not even close to the same. How are you going to dance that dance with Nima and the DRA? And again, I don't see the purpose of the DRA. I'll be real with you. That's not to knock nobody. I'm glad you guys are there, and hopefully you can help. But beyond it being an unnecessary additional layer of bureaucracy, I don't really see the purpose other than $70 million of our money, according to Alex Storr, has been spent, and there is the furthest thing from accountability that I can see. Because, again, I know Alex Storr and he's competent, but I'm going to have to, you know, you're in a public position, you know, and I'm saying this just for his benefit, so he knows that I'm not personally attacking him because he's my friend, all right? It doesn't matter to me what you guys think, but I want him to know. All right, he's done that a long time. It's not a personal attack, but he's mature enough fellow to know we all got a job to do, and my job's about shining light on things, particularly with the government, so that we can have some semblance of accountability. So here's, I don't understand this statement, and this to me personifies what the DRA is. All right, so I don't, someone clarify, here, help me with this one, or I'll tell you what maybe would sound better. All right, so this is in today's papers by Jasper Ward. Storr, no paperwork for multi-million dollar domes project. Okay, I'm just going to read it to you. And this isn't necessarily Alex Storr's fault, although I would like a follow-up on where the buck's supposed to stop with this one. But this personifies why it's better to streamline government rather than add more layers of bureaucracy. Again, maybe someone out there could explain to me precisely why we needed the DRA and the ministry. Maybe someone could explain that to me when you still have to go through works, housing, education to get the majority of things done. Finance, etc. So this says Storr, no paperwork for multi-million dollar domes project. And I don't know if anything personifies this better as to why the DRA, maybe you should rethink this entire thing. It says Disaster Reconstruction Authority Chairman Alex Storr yesterday claimed that the authority has not been able to find paperwork for the Minnesota administration's multi-million dollar domes project. Storr told the Nassau Guardian, quote, with the audit, we've decided to attribute to those nil value because there's no paperwork to go with them. We don't even have instructions on how to properly assemble them. We contacted the manufacturers, and we're still waiting on that. With that, we're going to have them rule it nil value. And we're going to have Cabinet make a decision on the next step with those. Storr said the DRA does have paperwork from the contractor hired for the project, but there's, quote, absolutely no paperwork for the purchase of the domes. He said the contract for the installation of the domes was modified after the project started. Quote, he said, there are numerous issues with that, end quote. The domes project was announced not long after Hurricane Dorian devastated Abaco and Grand Bahama 3 years ago. The project aimed to provide housing for the thousands of Bahamian displaced by the Category 5 storm. The project cost more than $6 million and fewer than 100 of the 250 domes were erected. For more than 2 years after the storm, the remainder sat in shipping containers. Those domes accrued about $1 million in fees as a result, according to Storr. He said, quote, we were able to negotiate with Tropical. We cleared most of the containers. I think there are only 5 containers remaining. We returned the rest to Tropical. We worked out a deal with them where we would purchase some of the containers outright for something like $4,000. Rather than the $40,000 it had accrued. On the other ones, we worked out a deal with them and the government on some other things. So 39 domes were erected in Spring City. All but three were occupied until this month after the government asked residents to vacate due to poor conditions in the structures. Many of the domes have no trespassing signs on them, and only a few appeared to be occupied last week. All right, fair enough. Now, you would have heard the prime minister. Fair enough that that's what they said, but I'm not going to let that one go just yet. You would have heard from the prime minister when he spoke in Abaco that he's not pleased, would be the indication, with the progress of what's happened since they took office. And at least he can admit it, right? Because I don't think the Davis administration has done a particularly solid job or nothing to get any sort of strong marks with Dorian reconstruction or recovery. And again, no shade to the DRA, no shade to anything. But when you tell me you've spent a year, so Minnis in December, I believe it was, or January, if it was December 2019 or January 2020, I'll have to double check. Minnis went and announced that there was that the government of India donated $1 million. I want you to keep in mind that the entire world watched Dorian for days on end and afterward, and nearly the entire world came to our aid, right? So the government of India, I'm fairly certain we don't have any diplomatic presence in India. Neither does India have any diplomatic presence here. I am fairly certain of that. I could be wrong about that. Let me not put my head on the chopping block. It's nothing significant of it. I'm almost certain we don't have any diplomatic presence in India. But I'll double check. But in any event, India, with whom, you know, we don't have this long-standing, robust relationship as far as I'm aware, said we're going to give you $1 million to build a hurricane shelter, all right? Then Minnis announced that the hurricane shelter is going to be built in a few months. It'll be built in time for hurricane season 2020. Certainly the pandemic happened, but the thing never got past the foundation stage, all right? And there were exemptions on Abaco during the pandemic to continue working. The thing never got past the foundation stage. That's a year and a half, right? And still no shelter. Now you're telling me a year later, well, we finalized the plans for the shelter, and now we're going to build the shelter. And I don't know what we're supposed to do with that. I don't know that we're supposed to go, oh, great job, you modified the plans. You know, again, it's lackluster, and I think that they're aware of that, and the prime minister seems aware of it, and there has to be national attention brought to it to make sure that it isn't just a passing concern. Back to the domes, okay? Here's my problem with government, right? Because you hear things like this. There's no paperwork. There's no paperwork for the domes. All right? The government of the Bahamas, if I'm understanding this correctly, paid out millions of dollars without any contract, invoice, receipt, purchase order. None can be found. So that's insofar as you're saying there's no paperwork, okay, fair enough. You didn't order the domes. I get that. How a dollar was sent out of this country without meticulous documentation is mind-boggling to me, and also sounds in violation of several laws. Okay? You're telling me that you went through the central bank, which I'm assuming you'd have to go through for a multi-million dollar transfer of U.S. dollars, or bought from the U.S. No, there's no paperwork, no nothing. For domes that are at least $5 million, the original number was. Now it's up to six. And so you're saying we contacted the manufacturers and we're still waiting on that. You contacted the people you bought these from, like when? They don't have computers. They have the old school 1980s filing cabinet system. Nobody can pull up an invoice for these domes. Don't have serial numbers on them. They rack up $1 million in demurrage charges, but we can't get a receipt form from the manufacturer. The problem I have with this is these statements are made. He wasn't there when the domes were ordered. I get that. These statements are made, and I never hear the follow-up, right? So to me, it says, with the audit, this is what it should say. With the audit, we've decided to attribute to those nil value because there's no paperwork to go with them, and we call the police. Because this sounds criminal. Okay? We don't even have instructions on how to properly assemble them, is what he said. Here's what he should have said. We don't have instructions on how to properly assemble them, which... We contacted the manufacturer, and we're still waiting on that. The instructions, they're waiting on how to assemble. Who assembled them last time? Maybe they got the booklet. So the instructions, you're waiting on. Not the invoice, according to this, right? No value. Millions of dollars. No value in the audit. We contacted the manufacturer. We're still waiting on that. With that, we're going to have to rule it nil value. And we're going to have to have Cabinet make a decision on the next step with those. And here's what he should have said. But in the meantime, we called the police and the Auditor General. And, like, who else should we? The CSI? Someone like this? The Canadian Mounties? Call somebody. Scotland Yard? So if I had to wrap it in a bow, what personifies why the DRA is a bad idea, and I'm not saying the DRA hasn't helped anybody, but when you tell me $70 million was spent, I got to question what's going on. But we have yet to recommence the home repair aspect of it. I got to question what's going on. So this is, to me, at least for today, the perfect example of why this is not making any sense. Because when you can spend millions of dollars, and here's where the government gets mad, and here's where I look crazy when I go to government can't do everything. Because clearly y'all could go fritter away millions of dollars on domes that we're going to junk, I assume. And I look crazy when the people go, the government should, and I go, no, the government can't do everything, but y'all can find money for this. 3 years, you're telling me you couldn't have built homes on that location. In 3 years. Let's say Minnis was totally incapacitated. In a year, we couldn't have done anything with that. I don't find that to be acceptable. And I know that Storr says there are foundational problems in every program when he came to the DRA. I get that. But what I don't get is all the other things surrounding it. So the DRA has stopped the home, had stopped the home repair program, had stopped the voucher program. They were complaining about it on Abaco. They were complaining about it on Grand Bahama. The dome thing is a complete mystery. Nobody seems to. We're just going to assign nil value to it, and we're just going to charge that $6 million to the game again. I only need one, you know. Just give me one of the millions that are so easily disregarded, and you'll never hear me come. I'll never come back to you again. One of these millions could change my life, and I'll change many other people's lives with it too. But we're doing audit with a DRA, nil value for the domes. And I searched through the story like six times looking for the part where he goes, and then we called the police. So Cabinet's going to make it. So you see what I'm saying? Like if I had one story, and I'm not blaming Storr, or although I do think he should have followed up with, we call the police. I'm not blaming Storr, but if I had one story to personify why the DRA is a bad idea, why I don't think it's necessary, why it seems like another layer of bureaucracy to just funnel our money through to shoot it out into the stratosphere, this would be it. This and the, what do you say, $30 million spent on cleanup. So anyway, we got to take a break here in a second, but let me pause and say this. Why I think the Davis administration, if I'm looking at where I think the Davis administration has performed the worst, it would be with Dorian. And I know they've done some things in government with legislation, but come on, it's been a year. So, and we're going to talk about the governance and some of the positives, some of the bad. But if the worst part of it would have been with Dorian over the past year, the performance that I see from this administration. And that's not to say that they won't turn it around in the coming weeks. You know what I mean? It'll be a spectacular success story after all. But we just got to call it like it is. All right? And what bothers me to a certain extent is that the DRA is somehow the face of all this, when the DRA don't do probably 80% of what needs to be done in order to rebuild. For most of that is government infrastructural work. A lot of that's going to be private work. And it does seem to be the case on Abaco and Grand Bahama from communicating with people who live there, who've been there. I haven't been there since Dorian. I intend to go. Travis went there last year, or earlier this year. They had to, cook their food over the fire outside. they had rum, Travis said. I can't do it. People at tent, I can't do it. Travis grew up on the island. He can hang. I can't, right? I need some accommodation. You know what I mean? But what seems to be the story of the aftermath of Dorian is that outside of the government infrastructural work, those who have money and means are okay. Those who lost everything but don't have any means with which to rebuild like that, they're up the creek without a paddle. That seems to be the story of me from where I sit. And I got to take the break. And here's what I'll say. Even if we're looking at Abaco and we go and we say, okay, well, things are looking a lot better. The main strip looks a lot better. The vast majority of that, even though I question how the money was spent, the vast majority of the cleanup, the reconstruction of infrastructure was done by the Minnis administration, right? So say what you want about however much money was spent, which I still have an issue with that, but Bahamas Striping did the majority of cleanup with the mud before the government changed. All right, now I know they have a bunch of sites where hundreds of thousands of tons of metal and other debris still there, which is uncool, which we spent millions of dollars for, and that still needs to be dealt with. But the majority of the road clearing and cleaning up these settlements, the majority of the finding bodies, although that mass burial thing was a horror show, the vast majority of that was done by the Minnis administration, for better or worse. But if you're looking at it and you go, well, the roads are looking better, a lot of the place is re-electrified. A lot of the place, the water's better, right? In Abaco, the vast majority of that was done by the Minnis administration. In Grand Bahama, the vast majority of things done within the port were done by the port. But the government has to do some things to allow the port and people living within the port areas to be able to deal with derelict properties, be able to deal with rebuilding, et cetera, different covenants of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement, which we're still waiting on. So we could talk about it, and let's talk about that. I don't want to say disappointment, because I really don't have outsized expectations from governments. I think the worst area of the Davis administration's performance, and I stand to be corrected on this, to date, has been with Dorian. I haven't even gotten to Grand Bahama yet. I could tell you what's going on there, what I'm hearing from. All right? And that has to do with different ministries, not the DRA. Again, I also don't think the DRA, I don't think $2 million is enough to have building supplies for everybody. I also have no confidence, zero, that it's going to go well that you're ordering mass amounts of housing supplies and yet there's no more voucher program for, you know what I mean? That we can't get a receipt for the domes doesn't give me any great deal of confidence that it's going to get better. Maybe, and maybe Alex Storr will come out of this a hero, or it's not even Alex Storr, because he still has to report to a minister, and the minister still has to report to cabinet. But I don't have any great deal of confidence from what I've seen over the past year. And that's just where we are with it, and I'll explain why when we talk about Grand Bahama as well. Because you keep putting the DRA out here, but the fact of the matter is the DRA don't rebuild no school. The DRA don't rebuild roads. The DRA don't put government complexes back in action. The DRA don't build police stations. And you know what I mean? Or docks or seawall. The DRA just dealing with home repairs, it looks like. But all the other agencies that are supposed to be ticking and humming, they're not. Doesn't look like it to me. If you have some experience with this in terms of Abaco and Grandmama, please text me, 422-4796, or you can call us. I'm in studio, 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. If you have something germane to offer, if you just stream of consciousness and hot about something, then, you know, maybe not today. But if you got something to offer that's maybe insightful or you have some experience with what's been going on with Dorian, particularly over the past year, I'd like to hear from you. Because the performance over the past year has not been good enough. And Davis has said that, and Cooper has said that. So I'm not pulling something out of thin air. It's just evident from everything I see. Okay, let's go to a break, and then we'll be back on the other side.
Double shot decaf cappuccino.
Light roast Colombian no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Another wave is coming, but this time it's a tropical heat wave. Marco's Pizza is bringing you two new wing flavors, guaranteed to spice up your summer. Just wing it and indulge in our Jamaican jerk and mango habanero flavors. 10 pieces boneless wings for only $13.75 and bone in for only $16.15. We are bringing you the heat all summer long. Try our new Jamaican jerk or mango habanero wings today. Make every day a wing day. Marco's Pizza, every store. Every day, the Italian way.
For 25 years, Advantage Insurance has provided coverage for your most prized possessions, offering insurance plans to cover your vehicle, home, business, and boat with customized options that work with your budget. Now, Advantage says thank you to all our loyal customers and business partners over the past 25 years. Call 356-0285 or visit Advantage Insurance on Collins Avenue today. When every dollar counts, count on Advantage. Celebrating 25 years of service.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller. Until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. Says, Juan, we missed you on Thursday and Friday. Oh. Actually, I had planned to take Friday off, but that's likely going to change a lot now because my kids are back in school. Yeah, so Friday I had planned to take off. Thursday I didn't plan that. And that's why you heard a replay. I was, well, I'll say this for today. I want to process my experience. I gravely overestimated the efficiency of the My Gateway vehicle registration process in real world terms. All right, the process of registering, finding an appointment, paying for my car registration before the appointment, flawless. Maybe because it was the first day of the month or second day of the month. It's first day of the month, I believe. First? Yeah. Maybe because it was the first day of the month that I experienced what I experienced, but y'all going to have to work really, really, really do a lot of work on that My Gateway. My experience this year compared to last year, completely different. Maybe it was because I did it on the first day of the month. That's it. I can't wait. I can't ride dirty. I don't want no problems. And tickets and all this. I think I got a traffic violation on Potter's Key I never took care of if they put it through. So they may lock me up now. I got, call my wife if they come for me, Ollie. They got, it's like $50. You ever been to court to go pay a ticket after the dates pass? It's a nightmare. Anyway. Picture me rolling, y'all gotta come get me. No, I'm playing. I'm just playing. Don't come get me. I want no problems. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I got everything by the book. Police are my friends. You know, that's why I wasn't here. I'll tell you the story one day, too. It says, there were no mass graves in Abaco. Every single body that was buried had their own grave marked with a DNA code in case family members in the future come forward with identification. Okay, well, I mean, sure, I'll concede that. They weren't all buried in the same hole. There was a mass burial. Okay, there's a mass grave site that people were really, really, really upset about, but okay. Says, you mean most of the Abaco work done by NGOs while Minnis was in power, Team Rubicon, et cetera. Well, true, too. That's true, too. Yeah, the NGOs did a lot of the heavy lifting. I'm not taking away from that there was cleanup going on, particularly in the mud then. And I'm not taking away that there was infrastructural rebuilding done, a lot of it on the main strip, for certain, for this administration. But a lot of NGOs did a lot of the work, too. Says, remember Jubilant Clint with BPL? Quote, y'all need to see this report. Almost a year later, we don't see the report, and the people done settled, so what about the report? Yeah, well, you know, we just throw things out there to get people excited. That's why I try not to get excited like so. One, we could have built 100 houses out of T111 like we do all over the Bahamian Islands with hurricane clips. Someone came up with this idea of a dome so water can move around it, but no one accounted for the high humidity. Also, one, we add these other layers of government to award patronage to party members. The treasury of the Bahamas has made many Bahamian families wealthy over the years. Yeah, I don't, again, and I'm not saying I want anybody to not have a job or whatever, but I do not see any. No one has yet to convince me that the DRA should exist. And all evidence points to it should not. I would wrap that up. I could find something else for Alex Store to do. Because the people aren't getting the stuff now anyway. Says, them shipping containers and chassis were probably frozen solid with rust. Yeah, you're right. Says, so Dorian hit in 2019, the billion-dollar disaster. Now comes a new government, and a year later, who just continued on. It is clear no government would have done differently after this disastrous storm. We as a country are not prepared for these storms. Bunch of nonsense. All of these politicians want here is themselves. Well, I'll say this. I find it hard to counter your point because I don't see what was done so differently over the past year. I see very few things that I can point to go, boy, they really had their arms around, you know, this thing. It says, if these domes do not constitute grounds for criminal prosecution, then what about some Dorian reconstruction contracts, the super posh mattress and carpet in Brussels, business as usual? He said they had a $2,500 mattress. Listen, my brother. And I'm thinking that they're getting that from the States, right? You got to go look for a $2,500 mattress. Okay? You got to look. Like, that's some memory foam type stuff. I got the double pillow top special, and that wasn't even $1,000. I can't imagine what, and that was here in Nassau. Can't imagine what $2,500, what is that? Is that one of those bed? He just said mattress, too. He didn't even say bed. It's mattress. Says, Juan, tell the company who tarred the roads in South Andros, thank you so much for finally relieving those residents from dust inhalation. Finally. Yeah, I got my own road woes here at Village Road. Juan, the reason why the manufacturer can't produce the receipt is because they never purchased them directly. The middleman made the purchase, probably doubled the price, and now we are where we are. Money in the pockets of the insiders. So you're saying we got them from a broker, not the manufacturer, and the broker don't have the invoice? I find it so difficult to believe that, and I would have to call the Auditor General and the Attorney General and the police to help me wrap my mind around it. I find it so difficult to believe that we can't find any receipt for those domes. And I'm not saying anyone's lying. I just find it, and Alex Storm must find it difficult to believe, too. You're going to have to come talk to Clayton Fernando then, son, with me. I can't do that. I can't just go not have people's stuff. I don't want to do that because it's mind-boggling. But we're going to let that ride? Cabinet going to figure out what to do with that? I could help you with that. It don't take 22 of y'all. Is that what it to figure that out from me? I could tell you what I'll do. We got a call, sure. Let's do that. All right. Hold on. Let me get the headphones. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. How are you?
Good
afternoon, sir.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
Good, good, good.
Excellent.
Could I encourage you to invite DRA to come on to explain what DRA was, what DRA is about to be, if it is about to be something different, and why we are in the state we are in significant detail, because, I mean, it seems like we just can be going around in circles guessing as to what they're supposed to be doing or what they're not supposed to be doing, and that's not productive to me.
No, yeah. I'm with you. It would be good to have them on, actually. I'm saying this because I just heard from them. We just heard from them on Thursday pretty extensively, but I still don't get the sense of the necessity of the DRA.
Yeah, from what I heard, and I haven't heard the whole show, but from what I've heard, I guess over the last half an hour or so, but seems to be a little short compared to what seems reasonable to what should have happened if they had a total audit done. And so forth, and multiple changes. So, I mean, the big picture is what really needs to be said, otherwise we're just fueling ourselves to go in directions not. And the reason I say that is because, for example, your question about the bureaucracy, just an added layer of bureaucracy. Haven't done disaster management for many years in the past. what I've seen they was attempted to do in the past was to be a high-level program project management type activity. So yes, DRA itself may not have had the people employed who will be doing the construction themselves, but they will be the ones who are managing and leading the whole process of recovery and have that focus. So there is some merit for the area to be formed and be put in place, because we are going to have more and more disasters, as we see with the floodings and stuff happening every other weekend, what have you, and so forth. And also, during the Minnesota administration, they did send out a few requests or information or tenders for services to be done, but from my understanding, most of them were pulled back because the structure of them needed some changing. And so I think all of that is a part of what I call growing pains when you rush to do something, set up a DRA, but you don't think it out thoroughly, and so forth. And what I get an impression from the chairman's comment is that they approached it from thinking it out thoroughly from scratch to the end and then start to act. And so maybe the thinking out thoroughly is taking too long. A whole year is a long time, yes.
Yeah.
But I think we got to get it right. Right? You can't just keep bucking our toe left, right, and center sitting back and doing a proper assessment and a proper restructuring, everything else, and then move forward.
I agree. I didn't expect him to just come to power and boom, everything done. No one expects like a school to be built in a year, and you know what I mean? Like, no one reasonable. And maybe, like I said, maybe Alex Thor and maybe the Davis administration's, all right, we'll turn this all around and it'll be a roaring success like 2 years from now. But I don't think enough has been done so far over the past year. I would have to, that'd have to just be my objective assessment. You know?
Yeah, and then the last thing from a general point of view, across the board for governments and companies and stuff like that, I think they need to improve the communication with the public, because a lot of times we are expecting things that might not even have been a part of the goal.
Right.
So we view this and this and this should be happening when that was not even being addressed. And so when we don't see it happen, then we kick up a fuss. But that's fair. That's not really fair evaluation, but that's poor management of communications on their part.
I would agree. Yeah. And thank you for calling, Appy. Appreciate you. All right, so we got to take a break for news. When we come back, we're going to talk some more. We're going to also, I got more of your text. You can call me if you'd like. And I'm going to talk about what Grand Bahama, all right, and a lot of what's going on there. And I just don't understand at this point, like, why some of these low-hanging fruit, like basic government services, are still outstanding. All right, we got to go to a break for news. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're talking about Dorian restoration, inclusive of the DRA. And I just got to call it like I see it. And you may not feel it's fair, but I think a year is a fair enough time for people to get the ball really rolling and make some sort of demonstrable difference, and I don't think the Davis administration has performed well with regard to Dorian. All right, we look at Abaco, and I talked to the reporters who went to Abaco. I talked to people on Abaco. I talked to people in government dealing with Abaco, and it's just not been a robust response over the past year. Now, you could talk about whatever happened during the Menace administration, XYZ, but maybe I'm silly, but I expect different. If you campaign on different and you come into power, I expect different. And we haven't seen that yet. And someone's got to say it. And it's in the national interest for them to fix it. Because here's the thing, right? So firstly, and I'm not going to go through knocking you with the concert. I love CeCe Winans, okay? And I'm glad she came and had a concert, all right? I can't say one thing bad about her, all right? But I don't know that you should be having no concert with CeCe Winans for everyone to come enjoy in Nassau in black tie and all this. When there's so much left to be done with Dorian. Now, here's what I do like. And I'm not saying it for balance. I'm just saying it to say it. Here's what I do like. I like that the memorial aspect of it was done by this administration. I like that. All right? We didn't see that with the last administration. I don't recall seeing it. And when I looked at the memorials on Abaco and Grand Bahama, they were somber affairs. When I looked at the church services, They were bipartisan affairs that had good messages. You know, people felt the chance to emote and really have that connection. I liked that those things happened. And I thought it was good. I saw some of the pictures of wreath laying and all this, and people are still impacted. You can look at the front page of the Guardian, see people are still impacted. And I like that we did that. But we're having CeCe Winans come here and do a concert, and we're talking about raising money, right? So CeCe Winans concert is supposed to be a benefit concert, all right? I believe it was FTX who paid for the concert and FTX who brought CeCe Winans here. So they were saying a private donor paid for it. I believe that's FTX. Sam Bankman-Fried and them, right? However, you're saying that the Dorian concert is going to be a fundraiser. And when I checked the website yesterday, this is just sad, actually. It says, the Courage to Rebuild fundraiser. All right? I'm looking at this one. Is this the right one? The reporters tell me this is the right one. Courage to Rebuild. TogetherBahamas.com, right? The Adventist Development and Relief Agency. Is this the right one? Anyway, here's my point. Go donate if you need to donate. Because I don't know if the CeCe Winans concert raised a dollar. No one's reported it to me. I don't know that anything came out of it other than a really good time. And I say this to say this. Look at the Courage to Rebuild fundraiser Together Bahamas, the Adventist Development and Relief Agency, right? They've got a website. Their goal is to reach $10,000. They're now at $500, $520, right? You're going to have a difficult time getting people to donate a single dime for the hurricane 3 years later when they've already given you millions of dollars and you haven't really done anything to show for it. If I'm an international organization, or just say some rich rando out there, and I go, hey, you know, I sent some money to the Bahamas when the hurricane happened, and this story pops up on your feed that $6 million was spent on the domes, and No one's got an invoice for it, and now you're assigning nil value to it. I'm not giving you any more money. I'm not. Someone got to come to me, to my house, and explain to me what y'all have done. If I go down there and visit Abaco, I'm not coming to give you any more money. So 3 years on, we got a very serious problem. And I don't know that the drive, particularly with super high inflation after the whole pandemic, I don't know that the drive to give any more money is still there among the wider world, or even the private sector in the Bahamas, right? So I'm going to look at you, and I'm going to look at it and go, you know what? This is just like every other scenario almost where a nation asks for some help, asks for some aid, and we give the aid, and then there's this bureaucracy, there's all this wastage. The people who need the help don't actually get it in any robust manner. If you read the stories that Jasper Ward did on Abaco, it's just tragic. I would just stop even pretending like I'm really focused on these people until I actually could bear some fruit, some results. And since the DRA has looked at a lot of these programs, a lot of the help has stopped. All right. So we gotta do better. Okay. Now, if that means you gotta get rid of the DRA and put it under some other sort of purview, or you just deal with the government agencies, then let's do that. But I think we seem to be throwing good money after bad. I don't think the DRA being the project manager for home repairs makes any sense. And you're going to get mad at me, but explain to me how that makes it. Who among them are project managers to oversee? You hire contractors to do that. Let's talk about East Grand Bahama, right? So East Grand Bahama is in a bad way, according to everyone. Okay, so the main problem one of the main issues with East Grand Bahama is school. Okay, so the school was flattened, all right, as was the post office, as was the police station, you know what I mean? Like McLeanstown, severe devastation, right? But here's what the people of Sweeting Ski and East Grand Bahama are going through. There's no school, okay, nowhere. And if you've been to East Grand Bahama, it's a pretty expansive place, right? So, we got to call. You can call me. Call back. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 422-4796. So in East Grand Bahama, let me just focus on school for a moment. We can talk about other things. There's no school. All right, none. So from Sweetings Key all the way up to where? McLeanstown, High Rock. Am I getting my geography wrong? There's no school. So kids from kindergarten through 12, they get bused to school in Freeport. If you've been to Grand Bahama, it's a long place. That takes at least an hour to each way. So if you're on Sweetings Key, you're going to put your kindergartner on a boat. Okay? And you're going to take a boat to get to East Grand Bahama. And they're going to bus them as they stop along the way to pick up people from, like, McLeanstown, High Rock, et cetera. They're going to bus them into Freeport. That's an hour and a half. Easy for your kindergartner to get to school. And then go back, get on a bus, get on a boat, get on a bus, try to go to school, try to figure something out, get back on a bus for an hour, go back on a boat, rinse and repeat. It's unsustainable. All right? So at the very least, they need schooling facilities in East Grand Bahama. Ain't nobody expect you to build a school. Well, I'm gonna say this. I don't have expected you to build a school since last September, but there doesn't seem to have been a lot of thought over the past 3 years put into rebuilding the school. All right, so the school is the problem. Because you could deal with a lot of things, all right, once you know the kids can go to school. This is the same issue we have with Ragged Island. They have to send their kids to Nassau. And that ain't no commute. They just go to Nassau, live with family. You see your kids when school out, maybe weekend sometimes, or you go fly up there, fly up Nassau. You can deal with a lot of things if the kids are, the school is fine. But that's a problem, and there doesn't seem to be any exigency with in regard to that. And that's not a DRA issue. It's got nothing to do with the DRA. It's an issue for the Ministry of Works and the Ministry of Education. And I don't get that, and, you know, Glenys Hannah Martin's on top of her stuff, but I don't get that this is a thing, that this is a that they're looking at East Grand Bahama and going, this is an exigency after 3 years. All right? So, again, there's no school. In addition, there's no round-the-clock police presence. They do have a clinic that I believe the NGOs and the Ministry of Health, too, were responsible for. There's no national insurance services, okay? There's no post office. And I'm fairly certain they still don't have internet. I believe they have electricity now. I'm fairly certain they still don't have internet or regular phone service in that huge area. You know, so, again, after a year, is it reasonable to go, well, you know, hey, we're going to look at doing things. And I question whether it was the year anniversary and there was this level of, boy, we got to say something. You know, because we have concerts, we got to say something. I question whether that had to do with going, okay, yeah, now it's all going to kick in. It makes no sense to me for this to have taken a year. And I would like for the DRA and all to come on. Again, it's not a personal attack on anybody. The DRA is not responsible for all this. I don't look that. The DRA can't do nothing but the school, right? Or if the police are there. But I have yet to hear a robust plan for what happens now with regard to Dorian reconstruction and restoration. And to the extent that angers anybody, I hope it also prompts you to act. Okay? Because I could read for you what the Prime Minister said in Abaco. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan McCartney. Good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
Right here, Matt. Juan, I'm listening to your commentary, and it's kind of troubling because, you know, what you're saying absolutely is bearing some fruit here. And what I mean by that is, you know, after all this money that has been allegedly spent or allocated for these two islands, there still seems to be a shroud of secrecy. There's no true accountability or transparency. At the end of the day, you know, looking at the outside help, you know, the NGOs and all of those who would have either pledged or would have liked to pledge, you know, we have this, unfortunately, to put it like this, we have this track record whereas it seems as this country receives all kind of monies, but nobody's held accountable. There's no true record of where this money is, and there's no one called before the courts or in parliament to explain, you know, where is all this money? At the end of the day, in closing, it means that, you know, there's egg on the Bahamian people's face because, first and foremost, nobody's really going to trust the government, per se, to with their monies. And then, secondly, any monies that we would have received means that, obviously, in some cases, it has to be paid back. How are we, the taxpayer, supposed to pay this money back when we are also in the struggle now to just survive in this country? There are so many issues with this thing that needs to be looked at. And until we really get a firm grip on how we are going to actually get these things done with transparency and accountability, there will always be that cloud hanging over us. So thanks for taking my call, and thanks for allowing me to share my thoughts on this matter.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not. Listen, if I'm from the outside looking in, I'm on the inside looking in. But if I'm on the outside looking in from outside of this country particularly, Because at the end of the day, like, we still can't go it alone. Right? I mean, if we have to, we'll do our best, but I'd prefer not to go it alone. But if I'm on the outside looking in, I'm not giving y'all no more aid until you show me some meat and potatoes. And all these people here. Remember we had Rick Fox brought Kanye West here? I want a Kanye West house on Abaco. I want a Yeezy Gap hoodie. I am prepared to pay no $300 for it, but I would like one. But yeah, Kanye ain't gonna help y'all no more. He got other issues now. He ain't tripping. He going through divorce. He can't. Y'all missed it. We should have locked him down and be like, hey, Kanye, come help us build some stuff, and give out Yeezy hoodies from the Gap. Bring one for Juan. Any color is fine. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, how you doing today? How you doing, Juan?
I'm great. How's it going?
Okay. Juan, you know, that sound, just listening to you on the radio, it sounds like one of them movies where, like, some third world country or where the money, the people, you know, like,
they send the money.
It sounds like somebody living in one big mansion somewhere and just collect all the money.
Right.
And don't worry about none of the people doing it.
Right.
I did too. Well, I remember during that same time, they had, they were saying the fire department, some of the fire departments in the U.S. was refurbished or, and literally keep them fire engines brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And they was willing to give us some of them and the ambulance and stuff. We didn't take none of that opportunity to take none of that. And then every time you call the hospital, you know, ambulance, you know, the fire, the house burned down before you could even get them stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But I born to me, it sounds like nobody holding no one accountable. You know, when you ever get locked up or you even shame them or whatever, say, hey, you got the money. So if that was me or you, we'd been locked up way up underneath boxes.
I'm telling you.
I know. So what we can do, Juan, I don't know what we can do. We have to come up with some kind of accountability and punishment for people who thief the money. That's not what I say. I got to go.
Thanks, bro. It seems like the basic concept, and maybe we'll see some accountability, the basic concept of accountability often fades away when we're talking about government, right? So, listen, I'm trying to raise my children to be accountable. You know what I mean? So my son sometimes gets short of breath, and he's got like an inhaler. And when we came back from Harbor Island, he didn't have the inhaler. And I'm not to beat a dead horse, but I'm hammering into him. Look, you gotta be accountable. You can't just get stuff and not know where it is. You can't just lose. He's 8. All right, I'm teaching him this. You know, and I feel bad sometimes that I'm saying it. I'm not being harsh or crazy with it, but I feel bad just having to burden an 8-year-old with it. But I'm like, somebody's got to teach him. I got to teach him accountability. Then we get to government, grown people. Millions of dollars, we just, well, you know, how? The domes were just a multi-million dollar failed experiment that we actually don't know how much money was spent on it. This sounds like a bad movie. Like, not even a bad movie. It sounds like one of those satirical, you know what I mean? What's the thing? What's the Steve Carell show on Netflix? Space Force, like this, right? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good, man. Ditto to all that you're saying relative to the DRA in particular.
Yeah.
But all the other stuff, you know, and then you made mention about traffic tickets and the beating and all. Boy, right. They said they had one in there for me from 1980. 1980. So I see why Mr. Store couldn't say, well, call the police, because they're supposed to be that efficient with the car system and get this thing sorted out of it.
They came to my house, not to cut you off, came to my house when I was in university looking for me for traffic tickets. My mom called me and told me.
You understand?
But there's, y'all can do that, but the $6 million domes, well,
nothing. Yeah. But anyhow, let me see if I can lighten this a little more. You know, that person, I wouldn't sort out to you why you speak with two sides of your tongue.
I don't know. People just say stuff to me, you know. I don't.
Oh, boy. Mr. McCartney, I won't collect that $500. And bear with me with this. I could specifically say, because you did offer the $500, I could specifically say why or how you speak out of two sides of your tongue.
Please.
The top and the bottom. When can I collect my $500?
Okay, there you go. Good try. Good try.
Hey, God bless, man. Great show. Eh?
All right. Thanks a million. Get right. You gotta come. You gotta have some evidence for this 500 now. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi. Hi, Ben.
Hey, I'm good. How's it going? Your phone's a bit choppy, but go ahead.
Let me try back. I just want to get you. I'm on the IRA.
You want to call me over and try that?
Another line.
Yeah, call on another line, because you're choppy there. I always think like. He's calling from a bunker somewhere? Or he's like Jason Bourne, like he's hanging off of, you know, there's a junction box. Why does your phone sound like this? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. No? Okay. We'll try that again. Let's do some text. It says, we don't wish to find the receipt. Look back at the news clippings and see who was involved with the domes. Call them. They should have it. Says, Juan, I was at the concert and used the Together Bahamas website to donate. The funds went to Be Alive from my review of my statement, but that isn't captured on the site. Not sure the site is accurate. A number of people in my group also gave cash donations in the envelope provided. Now I can't help with the accounting for it. Well, it's good to know. I'd like to know how much we made. So what you tell him, Juan, you lose your inhaler? Well, I guess that's it then. Try to make most of that time he got left. No. I'm saying I'm going to get him a new inhaler, all right? No matter what, it's my son. I'm gonna make sure he's okay. But I'm trying to explain to him that if someone gives you something, none of this stuff is free, all right? None of this stuff comes by easily. So if somebody gives you something and entrusts you with something, I expect you to be able to account for it, all right? Because I have to account. Don't nobody give me no paycheck at work and they call me and ask me what's going on. I don't know. It don't work. And so that's with everything, right? When in order for you to maintain trust, there has to be accountability. Otherwise, why should I trust you? Why should I trust the DRA? When y'all don't know how much you paid for domes, why should I feel confident that a dime more of my taxpayer dollars goes to them? Why should I feel confident that a $2 million bill and supply initiative is going to go off smoothly? I don't have any more trust left. And it's not that I don't trust Storr or Aaron Sargent or anyone like that. I just, the entire agency, I do not trust. All right? There doesn't seem to have been any transparency from the get-go. Good afternoon. And you're just going to have to work to build that trust back, because I'm not willing to give it to you. You know, we'll see. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
It's Juan McCartney. How are you doing?
Hey, buddy. Good. You sound great now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, by the way, that's your phone, not mine.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Okay, just let me first say, you made a statement concerning the need for the Grand Bahama Port Authority to be given consent in regards to knocking down the derelict buildings.
No, what I meant was they need to change some of the tenants of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement from
it's the bylaw. But yeah. The problem with that is they've been asking for a decade or so for that change, but they have not consulted with or engaged the licensees and quasi-licensees of Grand Bahama concerning giving them ultimate consent. As you know, for a number of years and a number of lawsuits that's still pending, the Grand Bahama Port Authority took it upon themselves to knock down some buildings. And there's a climate. So there, a lot of the residents and individuals of Freeport is very wary about giving them exclusivity to just do as they please.
I see.
They want some processes to be put in place, and they keep trying to talk to government without talking to the people, as should be done for modification of the bylaws with economic development.
I got you.
An interesting thing for people to understand. One, if you take a case study of Freeport, with the exception of a few buildings, very few major construction has occurred on Grand Bahama since 1973. You could go that part of the hotel and the container port and other things of that sort. I'm talking about major buildings that for the institutional build of Freeport. That's why Freeport is what it is. If you look at the major hotels and buildings and stuff, you'll see the ageism of it. I'll make sure I remember to send you a link of every building that has been built on Grand Bahama since pre-election and the development. I also have a video for you to watch to see what Freeport should have been when it was properly run without interference. But when you talk about the DRA, I do see the original intent of the DRA, but intent and what is totally like two opposites. Essentially, what happens is Grand Bahama, Abaco, Rugged Island, whatever, has been hit with a storm. These are very specific, what you may call disaster zones, that would need what's called focused attention, not in the sense of government rebuilding, except for the fact that government has to have some input, considering that probably 90% of the people did not have any type of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And over decades, we have created a nanny state where government rebuilds my homes, replaces my cars, replaces my furniture, etc. But the DRA is not meant to be existing in its own exclusivity. It is supposed to be a correlation between the various ministries with a focused intent of, more specifically, like how you have the exclusive economic zone type environment that has been assessed to those. Let me speak to that for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Bahama needs at least another 5 years or longer, as well as Abaco.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say 10. Yeah, yeah, in the structure. So here's what happened. This is a recommendation I made from the beginning, not just now, from 2+ years. And now as we're coming to the expiration of this exclusive economic zone status, I said that we can digitize every single property on Abaco and Grand Bahama, giving it a unique identity number, knowing its current condition, so we can end these abuse and transfer of resources. For individuals that actually has been impacted, that more specifically wants to rebuild their home, so that in some type of environment, maybe an apartment, condo, or something that needs to each act in its own individuality, they can be given a digital identity number. What it does, it provides for easy tracking. So now that Warren McCartney House and has a digital ID, every time Warren wants an exemption, he would buy another identity number. That exemption could be used. We could use technology now to look at what anticipate what Warren needs would be, as opposed to what he's purchased. So when Warren has now purchased $19 for a four-door house, we know immediately that he has abusing it, or that he wants to buy another refrigerator or another whatever it is, and it's a spot instead of just an open type zone. So you could very specifically target each individual property that needs to be rebuilt under this particular thing. Technology solves a lot of the paper type of the issue where we contribute to global warming. The Bahamas contribute to global warming from paper, because paper, when it decomposes, becomes methane, which is 10 times the impact of carbon on the environment. But when you look at the DRA, and the problem with the DRA is that no one can tell you what needs to be done on Grand Bahama or Abaco, because we have just not have done extensive audit of what has to be done. Because the Grand Bahama brings a unique environment, because the need for rebuilding Grand Bahama goes back to the twin hurricanes of 2004. And the multiple hurricanes that have since been impacted that has yet to be rebuilt.
Yeah.
And so we need to look at Grand Bahama as a special case. But in the same way, we could look at Grand Bahama and Abaco and say that we lost $13 billion in revenue. What no one has been able to tell you is, what does it cost to rebuild the infrastructure?
Who told you we lost $13 billion in revenue?
Some survey. Your paper carried it.
In revenue?
Yeah, over 3 years. 3 years for Dorian and COVID.
In just government revenue? Or in gross?
GDP or whatever.
GDP,
yeah.
GDP.
Okay. Well, not government revenue, sorry. But I'm simply saying is that no one can tell you what it costs to rebuild the infrastructure that would have generated that that revenue. You know, so yes, I own a restaurant. My GDP profit things have disappeared, but I need to rebuild a restaurant to generate that.
Well, I think you're going to have to, and I got to go to a break here, C. Allen, but I think, and I don't have all the answers, I think you're going to have to look at Grand Bahama and Abaco in particular at the moment. In terms of, now I'm saying for all the resorts and all this, but you're going to have to look at it in terms of it's not going to be a revenue generator per se, and that we're going to collect this outside amount of taxes from it just by virtue of, you know, we used to get what we used to get XYZ. What you're going to have to look at it in terms of, I think, is making it a special economic zone for rebuilding, repopulation, get the economy going, and then maybe let's say 7, 8, 9, 10 years from now, you can look at it, and then you can start saying, well, now we got to revert to taxation along these lines. But I wouldn't let you open no business and not charge VAT for certain.
No, I know. Again, you know, I don't know if I should call back after the break, but just quickly if I could make the point then.
It got to be quickly, though.
Grand Bahama on board Abaco is now a unique opportunity to move into, how do you say, expand the economy, to expand into the economy, diversify into hospitality and tourism now that the global world of change. So Grand Bahama itself, from an economic standpoint and the very rebuilding of these infrastructures needed for these new economies in Grand Bahama and in Abaco, can very well, this is why you want to separate what needs to be done as opposed to the new build that has to happen, can very well carry itself within 18 months. And those of us on Grand Bahama and others look forward to this conversation because people are having conversation, everything for us, without us. And we want to have a conversation, not of just handouts, but an actual handoffs of rebuilding, redefining the economy for which Bahamians itself can benefit because we will have to increase the population and take some of them from New Providence and other places to accomplish the economic vision that we have for Grand Bahama and Abaco. And this is verifiable. Economists and accountants and attorneys have looked at these various different discussions that are going forward. But we never had the opportunity to have an open, direct conversation with the Ministry of Grand Bahama, Office of the Prime Minister, DRA, or anyone else.
Okay, I got you. Thanks, Sian, for the contribution. We got to go to a break. We blew way past when we were supposed to break. But anyway, let's go to a break. We'll deal with some more text messages when we get back. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
Opa! Burger King Nassau is bringing you the fresh Greek flavors you love done the BK way. Come and enjoy the new Greek Whopper with a delicious combination of tzatziki sauce, feta cheese, red onions, and refreshing cucumber on our signature flame-grilled patty. Or go Greek with a plant-based Whopper or crispy chicken sandwich. All three delicious sandwiches are topped off with lettuce and tomato and made the Burger King way. Bring your friends and experience the Greek Whopper lineup at BK Nassau, where taste is king.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Again, talking about, I'm talking about the performance of the entire administration, this administration, almost a year after coming to office. And this is the third year anniversary of Hurricane Dorian's landfall in the Bahamas. So, the DRA has been put out as the face of a lot of this, but again, the DRA don't rebuild schools, okay, or roads, or electrical infrastructure, or phone line. They don't do that. So I can't just go, well, the DRA didn't, although in some cases the DRA didn't, but I'm talking about the Davis administration. Like, the entire cabinet has to wear this, all right? This is not good enough. It's been an entire year is not good enough to not have tangible results, particularly given that quite a bit of the cleanup, the rebuilding in terms of government infrastructure was done in a large part when you came to office. Now, did we need to go spend $30, $40 million on all? I don't think so. And I have a problem with that. And the issue I have, particularly over the past year, at least Storr has been telling us what's been going on. That wasn't a thing before he came on, okay? But when I hear them speaking, it's these millions got spent and these millions got spent. And we don't know where these millions possibly went. And one guy's getting $1 million a month. I feel like I'm listening to a Jay-Z song. All this money that's being bandied about. I don't know that I really have faith in this agency as being an effective tool to do the rebuilding. We're going to get the DRA on the show. I'm gonna, I, Didn't invite them on the show today. I thought we had enough to go on from what we'd heard previously, but there are questions that need to be asked. You know, and I'm not blaming Alex Storr. Again, I've known him a long time. I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming Aaron Sargent, who's the managing director, acting manager, whatever it is. I'm not blaming them because I don't know what I don't know. And I'm sure there's a lot that's been going on. But a year is just too long for things to remain up in the air. All right? Even though a lot of shenanigans clearly took place prior to Dave's administration taking office, it's been too long. All right? And so now we got to get to the meat and potatoes. And can they turn it around? Maybe. Who knows? Right? I'm rooting for them. I want the people of Abaco and Grand Bahama to get help. But this has been too long. And so that's my general observation. If we're going to talk about the administration's performance over the next few days, barring any other discussions. My observation is going to be this Hurricane Dorian thing over the past year has been the probably the weakest area of actual progress that we've seen from the Davis administration. Would be interested to know what Kay Forbes-Smith did for a massive salary. I do not believe her committee made one report. Ask her to call in and explain. Her committee members complain that all she did was talk. Complete waste of time and money. Fair enough. Says this brave prime minister is harassing Bahamians on crown land while farming using the police force, but the Haitians are building huge mansions on crown land. Mansions they're building? That they got, and the police said there's nothing that we can do. Brave proudly said he's of Haitian descent and he could care less about Bahamians. It's not about hating Haitians. It's about fairness. Whose country is this? Can I go to China, become a citizen, and then say I'm Chinese or any other country? Mm-hmm. Is this right? Everyone brushing it under the rug. Thank yourself when the Bahamas becomes just like Haiti and we end up running. Yeah, I don't. We're going to have a discussion about Haiti, you know, because Haiti's a wreck. And I think that we should rightly be compassionate about the plight of Haitians, and Haitians who are here should not be treated adversely. But I don't think we're having realistic conversations about what's going on in Haiti. I think we're romanticizing what has occurred, and spinning a tale of unaccountability for Haiti's elected leaders. I'm going to make it my mission on Earth to go to the CARICOM heads of government meeting when it is in the Bahamas, because Ariel Henry is supposed to be there, and that's going to be my mission to go find Ariel Henry, or as closely as I can get to him, to interview him, all right? Because we're not having honest conversations about what's happening in Haiti, not a full-throated one. This is one, it's only about shaming the other side, not jailing them. It is to show that all of us waste government funds and abuse it. There's nothing here. Move on. Yeah, you know, I'm not rooting for nobody to go to jail, right? I'm saying call the cops, yo. If you can't find, if $6 million left this country, left the Ministry of Finance, and you ain't got no invoice, you ain't got no receipt, no nothing, then the Auditor General, I'm going to call them in this order. I'm going to call the police. Then I'm going to call Minister of Finance. Minister, well, first I'm going to call Minister of Finance because I want to know where the, please, could you provide me with the receipts? Financial Secretary, Minister of Finance, Minister of Economic Affairs. Barring that, I'm going to call the police, and then I'm going to call the Auditor General, then I'm going to call the Attorney General. Just so you know, I call the police, and we'll see how it all shakes out. Hey, Juan, when will the executive chairman of the DRA come on your show or their secretary? I'm going to reach out to him today, Storr, to see if so he can come. Because, again, I'm not blaming him for this, but I'm going to be real with you. I don't have a great deal of confidence based on the past 3 years that the DRA is the agency to get it done. And I'd love for him to come on and convince me otherwise. Say, hey, Juan, if the domes have no value, then give them to the people on Abaco for free. Hey, Juan, the government could have purchased steel buildings from the U.S. or 40-foot air-conditioned trailers to create schools in Grand Palm and Abaco. Yeah, I mean, there are no shortage of creative things we could have done. All right. Says Juan, we can't help the 11 million people in Haiti. We can barely help our own 400,000. Yeah, I mean, we can help. Maybe not. In terms of money, we can assist them, and I want to. I just don't want to. I want to have a dialectic, and I want to have full-throated, honest conversations about this. So I'm not going to sit here and go, you know, through no fault of its own, Haiti's in deep, deep, deep problems. I can't. That's not an honest statement or point of discussion. All right. Am I saying treat Haitians poorly? Don't empathize with them? No, I'm not saying that. Am I saying it's not a national security issue? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying let's have an honest, empathetic, but clear-eyed conversation. Well, and maybe if they'd live-streamed the concert and posted the link, I was not even aware they were taking donations. Yeah, I was mad they didn't live-stream the concert, too. Why can't we see some CC Winans? Since it became a benefit concert theme after the outcry from the people of Abaco and Grand Bahama, it was an afterthought and wasn't planned. One, is it just me or does it feel like the government's not taking crime seriously in decisions on major issues? Why does it feel like our PM's in a beauty pageant? His focus just seems to be on clean air rather than saving human lives and dealing with the cost of living. I don't think that's a fair statement for the Prime Minister, that the government's not taking crime seriously. I don't buy that at all. Is there a serious level of crime? Clearly. And that needs to be addressed. It says, please give me a dome and crown land on which to install it. I wish I could give you anything. It says, what a joke, Juan. Can't believe Bahamians put up with these governments' unaccountability of public funds. McCartney, where's the paperwork on accounts for the Consolidated Fund so we can see that record? That would be with the treasurer? Treasurer of the Bahamas. It's no paperwork, really? Bust out laughing. So no one remembers the company they got them from to ask them to reprint the invoice because the company selling that many don't keep a record in zero value? Why can't I get that when gifts get sent through customs? The Bahamas is not a real place. Again, I'm gonna reach out to the store. I need to. I was looking at it like, oh, Jasper left out the part where he said the cops were called and X, Y, Z. It's a great show as usual. One, Abaco is not rebuilt since Dorian. Hurricanes happen every year. Suppose another hurricane like that happened in Abaco again. Realistically, will Abaco ever get rebuilt? I mean, as I said earlier, make no mistake, people with means are rebuilding on Abaco. Okay? Now, they can't go rebuild government infrastructure, but people with means are indeed rebuilding on Abaco. I've spoken to numerous people who have rebuilt, who are still rebuilding. Also spoken to quite a number of people who don't have means, who have an expectation that there should be some level of assistance coming, right? Particularly after you've said it over and over and over and over. This is another black eye for Dr. Minnis' government, and he wants to run for prime minister again. Wow. I mean, I made no mistake about it. I had no confidence in Minnis at all. I can't honestly look at you and go, yeah, I really thought Minnis were going to go knock it out of the park with Dorian. I was willing to give him a chance, but, you know, come on. I was rooting for him even. Good day one. Is there going to be any real effort made to determine how many lives were lost in Dorian? It's 3 years, man. It's Miriam Emanuel counting. Ooh, low blow. Man, look, that's a hard one. I got to tell you, for Dorian, it's so difficult because if you didn't know how many people were there in the first place, how do you know how many people were lost? You know, that's a tough one. Anyway. Oh man. So we gotta get out of here. But again, I'm not personally attacking anyone, and I say that because I personally know quite a number of these people. But we all have to be accountable. We all have to do our jobs, and I have to be honest with myself at the end of the day. And if I come in here and go, man, this great job. You did everyone did a year of groundwork in the administration. Now it's going to really take off. I don't believe that. My all objective analysis of it is that we have not really taken the laser focus throughout the entire administration. All right? Let's set the DRA aside for a moment. Throughout the entire administration, there has not been a level of focus on reconstruction and rebuilding of Dorian that I think there should be. Have they done lots of other things that I like? Sure thing. Have they done some other things I don't like? Sure thing. Does this stick out to me? Is, look, we've been talking around Dorian for a long time now. All right, let's get it popping. That's what I want. That's the type of action I'm looking for at this point. All right, we got to get out of here. You guys take care out there, and have a great day, Bahamas, Lord willing. I'll be back tomorrow, and we'll speak some more then.
Is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Marcos Pizza, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, and Ron's Electric Motors.